Today on Real Life Radio.
It's so beyond me, the price he paid, that when he says, I paid such a price with my own blood, the blood of God, that if that's rejected, the hell that everybody's been continuing on that path toward, those who don't get off that path to receive my free ticket out of it, the price paid for that ticket is so huge.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere, and really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues with his series called The Parables of Jesus with the message titled Parable of the Dragnet. Whenever Jesus spoke to the crowds, he often spoke in parables, a common sort of picture story that has a lot of facets to it. In this parable, Jesus teaches on something very powerful, but not very popular. You see, this parable hits hard. Jesus is again sitting by the Sea of Galilee, even using it in his message, and serves as a warning as to the fact that there is an end coming and that no one's going to escape it. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that this parable of the dragnet is powerful in this way. The sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for us was so awesome, so priceless, and so valuable that separation and punishment for those who reject it is not only proper, but just as well. Now with his message called Parable of the Dragnet. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As humans, we want God to intervene now and stop this injustice. Oh, let me tell you something. He is going to move. And when he moves, the world will be in absolute shock. Where's God when, how come this evil? He is going to show his righteousness to the world. And you know how he does it? You're not going to like this. It's just too bad. He will expose his righteousness by this very holy thing that you and I know nothing about. In fact, the whole world right now is blessed by this time of grace because he has not even yet ever in the last 2,000 years revealed his righteous wrath. His wrath is coming. In fact, the Bible teaches that it's the kind of wrath that is a sword. The best way for us to understand it is a sword of wrath that is so hot it drips. Like molten blade. And all the people crying out for justice. Listen, don't ever ask for justice. First of all, if you go to court in America today, you're not going to get justice. And I'm not joking. That is gone. There is coming a day when God will execute justice. I don't want him to ever deal with me justly. I want him to deal with me mercifully. But when his wrath is aroused and kindled, all but a little, says the scripture, no one will be able to hide from him. And the Bible says that the mouths, even kings, will shut their mouths at his coming. Wrath. When God exercises his wrath, he's not out of control. It's not, wrath is not God losing his temper. Wrath is perfect. It's perfect. It's as pure as the driven snow. And it will be all against all wickedness. and unrighteousness. And right now, even the worst person on the planet right now is benefiting from the grace of God. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine when God's grace is lifted? Well, the church has been commissioned by Jesus to send the gospel to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus sent out the 12, think of that, when he sent out the 12, he told them to focus on that very project. Just go preach. And remember when he said, when the town doesn't receive you, just go out to the outside of that town and shake the dust off your feet. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for that town in the day of judgment, because they wouldn't receive the word of life that would save them. But he said, stay focused. Don't go around asking for money. If somebody doesn't want you, don't argue. Move on. It's amazing to realize that we may very well be at the end of the church age period. I personally, it's just my opinion, I think that we are. I don't know what that means. No one can ever set a date. That would be stupid and it's not right. But we look around the world and we see amazing things going on. And as I mentioned earlier, it's an amazing thing to also realize that you and I are living in an age right now where the gospel is literally getting out. Are you guys awake? We're almost done. Are you there? Watch this. I want you to get this. You and I right now, as we are living and breathing right now, the gospel is going forth today, this calendar day. What is today? The third? The gospel is going out more today and probably more tomorrow. Hey, listen, any doubters in the house? The gospel is reaching more people today, but not nothing like it's going to reach by Friday. Through satellite and technology. And it's increasing. I know there are those who want you to believe that their cult or their group is growing faster than anybody. Don't worry about it. It ain't happening. In fact, there's more people bailing on those cults looking for the real Jesus. Because you can't, listen, you can dress up and play all kinds of games and put makeup and a mask on stuff, but at the end of the day, your heart is still empty. And no matter what you do, the heart is longing. And the net goes out. And today the net is going out into inland China where it's forbidden to be preaching the gospel. And there's people, think about it right now, there's people with computers and radios dialing in and trying, they got clothes hangers trying to get the signal better because they want to hear about the gospel. Isn't that amazing? And it's growing. It's reaching more people. Verse 49 says, and the angels will come forth and separate. The word separate, listen to this. It means to sever. In medical terms, we use the word bisect. It is an absolute cutting off. Angels are going to come. Right now, you know, we've got little angel t-shirts and little angel decals, and we've got angel wind chimes. Let me tell you, Jesus is going to send the angels out. Have you ever read the Bible and you've come across biblical angels? You know what they are not? They are not little, 3 foot long, chubby, fat little stub wing, bubble butted babies with arrows. Oh, in your grandmother's hallway, she's got a few of those. Look at them, it's got the little, boom. So cute, oh, angels. Hey, not these guys. These guys are absolutely, will freak you out, angels. And they're coming, and look, they're under orders by their creator. Separate the wicked from the just. Go! And they come out. One angel. Israel's enemies were taunting them, and one night, one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. How does he do that? I don't know. But he can do it. Is that it? 185,000? Is that all? Lord, do you have anything else for me to do? Wasn't even OT. Angels. Jesus says they're coming. They're coming to separate the real from the false. The net goes out. People come into religious settings. Some are real, some are false. You can't tell. You and I can't tell. Remember Jesus said, don't bother the tares as they grow along the wheat. Don't bug the fish as they swim around in the net. Pull them up on the shore is going to happen someday. Then they'll be separated. Don't mess with it. Jesus says in the end, I'll see to it that my angels separate. They'll do it perfectly. And when they do it, they will sever, bisect right down. And can you imagine what those, as it were, with a hot sword of righteous justice, they begin to sever the real from the false. The people who say they're Christians and they're not Christians. By the way, if you're that person tonight, you say you're a Christian, but you're not a Christian. If you get alone, this is one of the dangerous things in our age. Take the headphones out of your head, or out of your ears. Unplug stuff. Get quiet for a second and start to ask God, am I a real believer? Now, here's the thing. Are you ready? The real believers, they're going to ask that question of themselves. Just like the disciples did around the table. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? The ones who are not real, they make a grand assumption they are, and they never ask. They just go, oh, yeah, of course I'm real. Your life kind of nags at you because it's not true to the witness of the Word of God. I'm not talking about doubt that people battle with. Think about it. Are you here tonight and you're doubting? If you're doubting, what is it you're doubting? Listen, as a Christian who's in doubt, you're not doubting the existence of God. A Christian who's in doubt doubts their acceptance before God. A Christian is sometimes doubting when they doubt, oh Lord, do you love me for real? Oh God, are we doing okay? Do you understand your prayer request is awesome? Your prayer request proves you're a child of his. Remember the man who sat, Jesus said, stood in the corner and beat his chest and hung his head down, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Who was justified? Jesus said, I tell you, that man was justified. It's an amazing, awesome truth.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. 1 John 1, 5 through 7 says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that's opposite of walking with him, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's a very comforting and beautiful thing to know, to realize. Number four, very quickly, verse 50. The parable of the dragnet teaches us that there's wages to be paid out to this world. The wages of the world are both bad and ugly. Verse 50, Jesus says that they'll be cast. They'll cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. He's talking about hell. Everywhere in the Bible, speaking of hell, it's eternal. Now listen, I'm going to create the argument that you might have in your mind. I even wrote it down. Pastor, how can you justify this kind of action? I thought he was a God of love. I understand your question, and I understand where it's coming from, because you're 100% sincere, and I used to have it just like you. Here's the answer. I hope it's adequate for you. From where you and I are at right now, from our vantage point or the lack thereof, when we read about eternity, eternal heaven, or an eternal hell, our emotions say, how can this be justified? How can a God of love justify this? We're asking the wrong question. We need to ask this question. What is it that warrants such a punishment? What has gone on that warrants such a punishment. See, you and I, if we have a very weak view of sin and of wickedness, then this thing about hell cannot exist in our vocabulary or our minds. But if sin and wickedness is so bad that only God himself could die to cleanse it, then are you with me? Yes. Then the price paid for salvation and to cancel out the power of sin and death, the price paid is so beyond my ability to appreciate. That what Jesus did is so beyond my human capability to appreciate. It's so beyond me. The price he paid, that when he says, I paid such a price with my own blood, the blood of God, that if that's rejected, the hell that everybody's been continuing on that path toward, those who don't get off that path to receive my free ticket out of it, the price paid for that ticket is so huge. In fact, Abraham said, shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? Yeah. Jesus' sacrifice was so perfect, so pure, so righteous that it, listen, justifies perfectly. It is right for someone to be in hell forever. That's how valuable his sacrifice was. My low appreciation of his sacrifice does not cancel out hell. It means I just don't get it. I don't understand. Do you see? Yes. It's the price paid that justifies the punishment given. And not one of us in this room, nor any human in all of time, has the capabilities to critique God on this issue. We're nothing better than Job's comforters at this moment to say, I don't agree. We simply confess, I have a low view of sin, and I don't understand who was on the cross. But when I stop to look at the scripture and begin to appreciate who was on the cross, then it tells me sin and wickedness is a horrible thing against man's soul. I wish we would get that in our hearts, people. We get this thing like, oh, we're protecting our sin and our wickedness, and it's my right. It's my constitutional right. Do you think anybody's going to be in hell? It's my constitutional right to be here. It's hotter than beep, and it was my right to be here. You think people are going to be fighting for their rights at that moment? Yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're right. We all have our right to choose. God put that within us. See, we want the freedom to choose, but we do not want the consequences for bad choices. You can't have it both ways. See, the issue is God wants you in heaven. And we're out of time. I have so much more. No, yeah, I appreciate that, but the children's ministry would shoot me. Listen, I'm going to leave you with this thought. Maybe this will put a little bit of fire in your heart. Or it will totally confuse you and you won't get a thing out of it. Because I kind of like freaked out over this. I guess I should preface it this way. This is the year 2013. In the last 10 years, if you would have told me what would have gone on in the last 10 years, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have believed you. I have seen my country, the church, not this church, church in the world, Christianity, so-called, go cuckoo crazy. Things, wow. Freedoms evaporate just under your nose lately. Wow. The way people think? Are you kidding me? That's just in the last 10 years. Okay, having seen now these last 10 years of how they're trending, okay, if you are around 50 years of age, you will most likely, if you live to be a reasonable old person, what is that? Maybe 75 to 85? I mean, 75 is almost getting young these days. It's amazing. Especially as I get older, it's really young. It's funny how that works. But Bob, how old are you? 80, what are you, 86 now? 86? He's an usher, ushers every service, 86 years old. What's your excuse, huh? Oh man, I'm 55, I can't usher anymore. Go talk to Bob. So listen, if you live, listen, if you're 50-ish, you're going to live to see 2043. What kind of world will it be in 2043? Oh, listen, I'm just getting started. If you're, how many of you are 25 years of age or close around there? Oh my. Cheer up. You're gonna live to see 2068. What will the world be like in 2068? This all came about because I was looking into the face of my grandkids the other day. My granddaughter's the oldest, she's almost 3. If she lives an average age for a woman in America, she will live to see 2090. Listen, there's children across the courtyard right now that may very well live to see 2100. Your kids, babies, little babies in the nursery right now, they could see 2100. You have a 3-year-old, it's no stretch for her, him, to see 2090. What will the world be like in 2090? If you live 10 more years, it'd be 2023. Do you understand now, young people? Look, us older people, we figure out, we start making plans to die. Yep. Young people, this is shocking to the young people. You're like, what? What? We need to reach people. Jesus said, work now. Do the work now while it is day, for night is coming when no man can work. What is he saying? Get the word out while you've got the liberty and freedom. Why do you, don't you think it's amazing? You can close your Bibles. I'm really done. Yeah, you can actually stand. That's how done I am. Stand, stand. Watch this. Watch what I'm about to say. There'll be somebody who's going to write me a note. Pastor, that was a political statement. Watch this. Watch this. Are you ready? Jesus, as I said, told us, work while it is day, for night is soon coming when no man can work. He's not talking about the sun setting. He's talking about your freedom or liberty to preach the gospel leaving. Watch this. Do it while you can. He's saying. Now watch. Do you have 2 feet?
Yes.
Even if you have 1 foot, you can still hop to your neighbor's house. If you don't have any legs at all, you can get a wheelchair and roll over to your neighbor's house. Listen, you can write notes. I don't have any hands. You can speak into a computer now and it will write it for you, and you can witness to your neighbors. Watch this. God has made it. He has given us so many opportunities to get the word out. Okay? America, the United States of America, per capita, that is per population. We lost this, by the way, to South Korea and to, I think it's a European country, I forget which one it is. But for decades, the United States, per population, reached more people with the gospel in evangelistic outreach than any other nation on earth. Did you know that? We lost it. I think we're number 3 or 4 now at that. But here's my point. The more free a nation is and its people, God frees us up to what? Get a motorhome? Sailboat? Airplane? No, to preach the gospel. So listen, church, work while it is yet day. The sun is setting. Let's be busy about our Father's business, amen?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Parable of the Dragnet. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was here on earth, and will continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, friends, listen up. This is a very, very important plea. And it's not a plea for us here at the Real Life Network. It's a plea actually for you. We are living in remarkable moments, remarkable times, and you literally need the Real Life Network to be able to be available to you in an instant. In fact, we have just been meeting on how we can reach you live 24/7, 365 in the event of an emergency, in the event of a crisis. How can you connect with us and get biblically based, honest news in light of what's going on in the world around you? reallifenetwork.com. We cannot be canceled. And for this reason, now we see the clarity of why God brought us to do this channel in the first place. reallifenetwork.com. Sign up, subscribe, get ready. We will literally be broadcasting the truth to you.
Sign up for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.